At the end of the flood, Noah comes out of the Teva and he brings a carbon. This is at the end of Parches in Pasuk Chaf. So we're told even Noah was Beach La Hashem, and he brings Mikol Behema HaTahora, Mikol Ofa Tahor, Yal Olosam Bamas Beach. He brings carbonos to Hashem. Yorach Hashem es Reach HaNichoach, and Hashem smells this fine, sweet smell. Yomar Hashem Alibo, Hashem, so to speak, says to himself, La'osiv la'kalel odes adama, he's persuaded he'll never do such a thing again, Bavora Adam, even though, or perhaps because of the fact that he acknowledges the frailty and infallibility of man, Kieser le'va Adam rav minu rav, famous phrase, La'osiv od la'hakol se'es kol chai kasher sisi, I'll never do it again. And then the penultimate pasuk of the perek, Ode, Kol Yemeha Aretz, now, says Hashem, he declares very almost dramatically that it should be continuous all the days of the earth throughout history. Zera, v'kotzir, v'kor, v'chom, v'kaitz, v'chorev, all the days of the earth in the seed time when you're seeding it, and then when the crops grow, when you're harvesting it, in the cold and in the heat. V'yom, v'layla, and day and night, lo yishbosu, shall not cease, it'll never stop. So the Pashtus, the Pashupshat of the Chumash, is that this is kind of a bracha, that the world is on, in a sense, on autopilot, that it's not going to ever be a time where the seasons are cataclysmically upturned and everything. The world will now be, there's now a seder to the Olam. It will always be. Kol Yemei Aretz, Yom V'Layla Lo Yishbosu, not just day and night, but also the seasons. It's interesting, despite this context, in fact, I see here at the article in a footnote, says that they used to ask the Chafetz Chaim, how do you know that the sun is going to rise tomorrow? And he quoted this pasuk. Hashem promises, this is going to be a continuous process. However, really interestingly, completely out of immediate or pshat context, the Gemara in the seventh parak of Sanhedrin quotes this pasuk in the context of the discussion of Bnei Noach. And we know, okay, it's always good to find psukim in Parshas Noach for Bnei Noach, and we know that there are seven. Gemara here discusses and determines what they are: seven halachos, seven prohibitions for Bnei Noach. Shavus is Bnei Noach. However, the Gemara tells us at the bottom of the Amud that there are two other things that they are muzharin. One is an Isser Talmud Torah, which the Gemara itself seems to indicate is an Isser almost of a gzela. Why is that not a problem if there was only seven? How come you have eight? The answer is because it's really part of Zera. This is Zera. This is something that was given to the Jews, not given to other people. And then the Gemara at the bottom of the Amud tells us, Amar Reish Lakish, Ovid Kochavim Sheshavas, Chayev Misa. Goya keep Shabbos, is Chayev Misa, Shene'emar, V'yom V'layla, Lo Yishbosu. Quoting our Pasuk. Right? He's talking to Noach, so we can use it as a paradigm for B'nei Noach. And here they're told, Lo Yishbosu. Now again, it's not they who are told. The earth, the seasons were told. But the Gemara understands, again, a fascinating example of Torah Shabbal Peh, that that is indicative of an Isser on Bnei Noach to keep Shabbos. And not just an Isser, but Goy Shabbos is Chayiv Misa. Why Ad Kereikach that they're Chayiv Misa? Amar Mar, Azhar Shalahem Zuhi Misas. And again, another Chiddush upon a Chiddush. Because you might have thought that that's limited to the formal Shabbos of Bnei Noach. The rule, again, is unbelievable for those who aren't familiar with this klal, that not only do they have seven, but the stakes are incredibly high. The very fact that they're prohibited in them, says the Gemara, Asarasan, Zumisasan, that indicates it's all or nothing. Either it's mutter, or it's a capital offense. All seven of the Shabbos of Bnei Noach are capital offenses. And the Gemara here, even though it's not formally part of that list, says it gets the same chumrah of Sarasan Zumisasan. So you can almost anticipate, the Gemara is almost like tempting us to ask the next question. Well, if it's not only is it usher for them, but it even has the same chumrah of the Sheva Mitzvos, so why isn't it part of the Sheva Mitzvos? Or better yet, why aren't there eight? The Gemara asks the question essentially. Amar Avinu. Sorry, I take it back, I'm sorry. Gemara makes one more comment, I'm sorry. Really. It's another raya that I didn't write the Gemara. Because it really makes sense, at least to me, that you should have... There's two more statements. I would have said the last one next, but the Gemara actually says, Amar Avina, an important halacha, which we'll have to think about. Afilu Sheini B'Shabbos. Don't think it just means that if they rest on the seventh day, Saturday, that's the problem if they try to hop around our Shabbos. Even if it's on Monday, they take the day off. That is considered Goyshe Shabbos and Chayev Mitzah. So now that you've really made it comprehensive, I guess, the Gemara says literally on the last line of the Amud, Lakshavei Gabi Zayin Mitzvah. So why don't you just include this in the Sheva Mitzvos? You know, this should be not just an afterthought, this should be part of the Credo. Gemara answers, Ki Kachoshiv Sheva Altase. Kum Va'ase Lo Kachoshiv. When we have this notion of the Sheva Mitzvah Bnei Noach, those are things which the guy has to fulfill B'Sheva Altase. Those are the things he's not supposed to do. He fulfills them by not doing B'Sheva Altase. As opposed to here, ironically enough, it's a mitzvah kum va'aseh, do malacha, so you're not in violation of the halacha of Goyshe Shabbos. Ad kan, a fascinating, fascinating Gemara, and perhaps nothing more fascinating, although I have to admit, this will be the last time we're addressing the point, but I just raise it to you, perhaps nothing more fascinating than the actual drosha. Where do you get, it could be that there's stuff written on it, that's just not what I looked into or want to focus on tonight, but it really is fascinating to me, where you get such a halacha, really, you don't have so often, mainly you're telling me you're learning it out from a yod or from a little word, okay, so that we're not expecting much, you have to take that, so to speak, on faith. But here you have a whole intelligible phrase, but you're literally taking it so beyond its seemingly poshut meaning, but nevertheless, this is what the Gemara says, it's undebated, and in fact, it's paskind all the way down through in halacha. Now, the Gemara here, despite having a pasuk, it doesn't tell us why. Why should it be usur? It's interesting that there are two famous midrashim which more or less speak to this point. One is in Shmos Rabbah in Parsha Chafei, and the other is right in the beginning, Parsha Aleph of Devarim Rabbah, which darshan the idea. The Shmos Rabbah is a little bit longer, the Devarim Rabbah is a little bit more concise, but actually in a certain sense more dramatic. But upshot of both of them is the same mushal, that Shabbos is something very intimate with the Jewish people. I spoke a little bit about this on the first day of Rosh Hashanah, and the main minion, I'm not sure where else I spoke, I think maybe this minion, no, sorry, in the 15 minion, about the beauty of Shabbos, what's so special about Shabbos. I mentioned there, for example, the Chofetz Chaim's mushal, that the Shabbos is like the wedding ring that Hashem gave the Jewish people. So that's like a Moshel Baal Peh of the Chavetz Chaim. I don't know if he included these midrashim, but there's no question the mocker for that image of Chavetz Chaim are these midrashim. Because the Gemara says that the relationship between the Jewish people and Shabbos is like an intimate, romantic relationship. It's like a king, Rosh with his beloved, his matrona, and they're having a private moment. You can imagine, you know, they're in the garden behind the palace, you know, the sun is setting, a romantic moment, and all of a sudden, as we know, three's a crowd, you know, some guy bumbles in and, you know, doesn't just say hello, but then it doesn't go, you know. So, right. I mentioned that in the drasha. Right, exactly. The ba'ahava, exactly. I don't think that's from the Chofetz Chaim, but I think that's also true. I think that exactly is supportive of this, that Shabbos represents the love. And in fact, therefore, says the Medrash, a guy that keeps Shabbos, he's like invading our intimate, not just our privacy, I guess, but our intimacy with Hashem. Shabbos is when we have that intimate, romantic moment, and we all know three's a crowd. This is like the friend who doesn't take a hint and doesn't get out of the way. And you get really upset at that kind of a friend. Right? Maybe they don't stay so friendly for so long. So therefore, says the Medrash, that's the idea. That's the idea of Goyshe Shabbos, is Chayiv Misa. It's interesting.
That would only apply if it was on Shabbos itself.
Good, very good. Excellent. Yeah, no question about it. That's correct. Very good. Excellent, Hara. There's another strain of thought I saw in two Achronim, which is different, but really also very fascinating just to consider. The Baal Shaul Umeshiv, the Shuvah Shaul Umeshiv, Rav Natan's son, who took over as the Rav of Prague after the Note of Yehuda. So he also has a book of Drush. I quoted it once in one of my drushas called the Divrei Shaul. So he suggests, unlike these Midrashim, I think, but based on the Mishnah and Avos, the Mishnah and Avos that speaks about how you need Torah in Derech Eretz, and if you do that, you're okay, but if not, you're Mishkachas Avon, you're going to get yourself in trouble, and here Derech Eretz clearly is referring to work. So he says the following. Listen, we all know that if you have too much time on your hands, you're going to get in trouble. That's a human condition. That's the idea of this mission and office. Don't have too much free time on your hands, you get yourself in trouble. So when a Jew has a day off of work, at least he has Torah not only to preoccupy him, but make sure that he's going to be okay. But Hagufa, in the very same Gemara, a guy is Asr B'Talmud Torah. So a non-Jew can't learn, and he's going to be off a whole day, in the stomach he's going to get himself in trouble. That is, he says, it's not so much that he's going Chayiv Misa, and it's a drush, obviously, but it's not the Shabbos per se, it's inevitable, says the Devar Shaul, that he's going to do something that he's going to be Chayiv Misa for, because he doesn't have the constraining structure of either Shabbos or Talmud Torah. And the Torah Temima, if you want a more exoteric source, the Torah Temima on our Pasuk, in Paraches Pasuk Chavbeis, doesn't quote the Devar Shaul, but he says something very similar. He quotes a different source, not the Perkei Avos, but the Avos Rebbeinu Nosson in Perkei Aleph, who says also a line more concise but more powerful, that Batal leads to Misa. If you have too much free time in your hands, that leads to Misa. And then again, he explains it. He explains it the same way. We'll see perhaps a third idea a little bit later, but for now, the Pasha says the Gemara doesn't tell us why. You have one image or model from the Medrash, although there's a weakness there, as Jerry points out, because that only applies to our Shabbos, not the others. And then you have this idea from these Achronim, which really seems to be on what the Gemara itself is driving at, of these, you get yourself, so to speak, in trouble. Now, the most basic question we can ask is what constitutes such an Avera? What constitutes? We can ask that on two levels. One, which we'll ask, is interesting, what it wasn't asked until the Achronim, which is what's the definition of Malacha for something like this, right? It's like the Chol HaMoed type question, the Chanukah question, the Rosh Chodesh question. You know, what, when you throw the word around Malacha, is that the same Malacha as Shabbos? Here, of all places, we are talking about Shabbos. Or is there a different definition? But even more basic than that, if we'll take a look, Rashi has two important comments here which seem to work hand in hand. Rashi says, Ovid kochavim sheshavas, mimalachto, from his work, he doesn't go to work that day, yom sholem, a full day, chayev misa shene'emar, yom v'layla lo yishbosu, v'kadarish lei lo yishbos mimalacha, t'abnei adam nami kai. Right, as we mentioned in the beginning, the Pasuk itself is not talking about people. The Pasuk itself is talking about the natural world and seasons. It says Rashi in the Gemara. It's also, you see from this Gemara, talking about people. But what did Rashi stress so far? The guy that he takes off a day of work. He's focusing on Shabbos Yom Shalem Mimalachto. And then, more to the point, Rashi says, in the next Dibur Maschom Ravinu, I feel ashamed. He was Shabbos even on Monday. Don't think that it's only if the person, so to speak, thinks he's religiously obligated, so to speak, and therefore he's doing it on a Saturday like you. No! The low kivan lishvos. Even, says Rashi, and then in the side they say, so even if that's not his intent, his intent isn't for some religious l'shem chova reason. Shehu yom shvisa Yisrael. Oh, efeb b'shabbos sheshvusim bo. Elamanucha ba'alma ka'asalu, says Rashi. Any, just stay abreast, any day of rest. Ka'asalu, shlo yivat lami malacha. You shouldn't have a day off. You shouldn't have a day off. But if you yom she'eno bar shvisa, she'eni b'shabbat, etc. You know, not like Sunday, which was already a religious holiday. That's why he says the Gemara goes out of its way to pick Monday, when everyone works on Monday. So he wants an extra day off, right? What do we call it? What do we call it? A long weekend. Memorial Day. He wants off President's Day. He wants off a long weekend. Says Rashi, l'shem menucha, even, is the problem. Now, what is incredible that comes out according to Rashi, again, in this, first of all, it's worth noting, it does work well with the Devar Shaul and the Torah Temima. It seems like Rashi's already getting at this idea, you know, you shouldn't have too much time on your hands. You get yourself in trouble. He doesn't say the other points that they say, but the basic idea is already there. And he elaborates that just the very act of having a day off is a problem. It's not just that, again, you could have imagined two things. Number one, if you rest on Shabbos, on our Shabbos, on a Saturday, so maybe he thinks that Shabbos applies to Goyim too. So it's not just that, because it's even on Monday. And you might have thought, well, maybe he thinks that Shabbos, in a religious sense, is on Monday. And that's the problem. But if he just wants a day off work, it's okay. Kamash Malon, Lashitas Rashi, it may be both of those, but more importantly, it's even one step further. There's nothing, no religious overtones. He just wants a day off of work. If you spend an extra day off, chayiv misa. Right? Again, it sounds like, I mean, I'm putting words in Rashi, but you got to say something, I think, is, you know what, we are all, and especially apparently Goyim, here to work. We're here to do something. Who told you to have the right to take a day off? Who told you have a right to take a day off? Half a day, maybe, but a whole day? Yom Shalom, says Rashi. Batlam Melacha, you're doing it even for Menucha. That is the problem. Now, what's striking, can you get me a Raman Pachas Melachim? This is striking on its own, but it's particularly striking when we compare and contrast the Rambam's formulation. Shoftim? Is Shoftim? Thank you, sir. With the Rambam Shita. Rambam famously discusses the Shevet of Bnei Noach, or Goyim in general, in Perek Yud of Hilchos Malachim. Thank you. And the Rambam in Perek Yud of Hilchos Malachim also quotes this halacha. And listen to the Rambam. The Rambam says has a completely different understanding. Halacha test, Perek Yud Halacha test. Akum she'asak b'Torah chayiv misa. Right, that's a different halacha on the same Gemara. And the guy is not allowed to learn Torah. Rather, what should he do? Only focus on liyasak alav shav mitzvah shalahen bilvad. Only in his own mitzvahs. Now says Ram our halacha. V'chein akum she'shavas afilu biyomi mos hachol. So he's bavorning. That's Ravina shita. Even if it's another day of the week, a guy that keeps Shabbos, quote unquote, any day of the week. Says Rambam, im asa ola atzmo kimo Shabbos, if he makes it like a Shabbos, chayev misa. Ve'ein tzarach lomer im asa moed la'atzmo. All the more so, if he turns it into a moed. And in case you don't get the point, the Rambam drives it home explicitly. Klolo shel dover, what's the broader principle that's being enunciated here? Ein manichin osan l'chadesh dos, dalet saf, not with an ayin. They're not allowed to make up their own religion. La'asos mitzvos la'atzman midaitan. Here it's with an ayin. And to make mitzvos based on their own thoughts. Ella, you have two options. O yegir tzedek, yekabel kol mitzvos. Either you're a full-fledged Jew and you keep 613 mitzvos. O yamid v'tarasav lo yosef lo yigra. Or you have to stay with who you are, which are your shev mitzvos bnei Noach, becoming a ger toshav. You can't add more to that. You certainly can't do less than the ger toshav. Then the shev mitzvos, them aslak b'taro shavas, a chadash davar, makanosov onshinosov, modinosov, shuchayiv misa, alzeh v'eino nerag. Rambam says, this is not for now, but the Rambam says in such a context, we don't kill him. We just beat him up, so to speak, so he should start doing the right thing, or stop doing the wrong thing, as the case may be, and we let him know, yuchayiv misa bidei shemayim. So a lot here to digest, but let's just focus on the one point which is relevant for us. The Rambam establishes and articulates a completely different approach to the halacha. Not only that, the Rambam lets you know, in case you missed it, that he's doing something of consequence. Even if you don't know the contrast of Rashi, but it's not often that the Rambam will tell you specific halacha and then let you know. Uklolo shel dover. The Rambam sees this as not just a halacha, but a paradigm. It's giving you an insight into a whole approach to our relationship with non-Jews, again, not non-Jews who don't care about us. Those who have come close to us, who want, so to speak, to know what to do. So the Rambam says, they have two choices. They could either be a Geret Osher, so to speak, or a Geret Tzedek. But there is no legitimate, at least, there is no legitimate third option. They want to make up their own religion. Even if they're borrowing from us, they're going to say, we're going to mimic. We're not going to do all of yours, 613, but we're not going to limit ourselves to the 7. We'll cherry pick. We'll take 20 of yours. Not Hail Marys, not wafers and wine. They'll take 20 of yours. Says the Rambam, but it doesn't work that way, because as we know from other contexts, Torah is an all or nothing thing. So by even taking some, like taking just the Shabbos, what could be wrong with Shabbos? That is itself a Chedesh Das. Again, you could miss this point. This is a subtle point, but I think it's important. It's not just, which it is, if you make up some completely brand new ritual. Then you could see why, at least that according to the Rambam, fits his own criteria. I'm saying, even though she touched the Rambam, he's adding something more subtle, which is that taking even part of our religion, and for him, Shabbos is just like an example, it could apply to anything, that is being mecharesh dos, because there's only two legitimate religions, so to speak. There's full-fledged Judaism, and then there's the partial Judaism known as the ger toshav, keeping the Shabbos as Bnei Noach. Anything else as the Rambam is... You know, the third way is popular in politics, at least to talk about. It's not popular or appropriate in religion. It's one or the other. This third idea is being mechadesh dos, says the Rambam. So that's highfalutin, that's profound, that's far-reaching. Let's bring it back now much more narrow. Bottom line, according to the Rambam, what is the nature of the Isser of Goyish Shabbos? It doesn't fit into being a full-fledged Jew if he's doing other things. It doesn't fit into Ger Toshav. The nature of it is, he's creating his own religion. And that's why, according to the Rambam, it doesn't matter if it's on Shabbos or Sunday, because Shabbos is no better. Any day is, it's not co-opting our idea. It's not co-opting us, because then maybe that would limit it to Shabbos. Who are you? You know, don't misharine in our private time with Hashem. The Rambam's not interested in that medrash. The Rambam has a completely different approach. They can't make up their own religion. In essence, yes, in essence.
That's why it's part of the seven. You know,
In essence. Again, even though they're doing it to worship our God, but it's avodah zarah in the literal sense. Not avodah zarah the way we usually mean it. It's avodah zarah in the literal sense. It's a strange avodah. It's not an appropriate avodah. There's only two appropriate.
And only they do it in the full sense? Or
we didn't get to that yet. We'll put it this way. What does he have to do in order to not be violating that? The Rambam, and really, I don't know if any Rishonim will talk about that, actually. There's a Tshuva of the Binyan Sion we're going to get to, who asked the question, but I think he was the first, and he didn't live that long ago. But I don't know if others who asked that before him. Now, the Pashtus as the Meiri and the Yad Ramah in Sanhedrin is that this Rambam is arguing on Rashi. Very, very different approaches. And Lamoshal, if a guy is just conked out and exhausted and takes his long weekend, according to Rashi, he's still chayv misa. And the kula is that according to the Rambam, he should be okay. Exactly. That's the way these Rishonim quote this Rambam. Although it's worth noting that the Kesef Mishnah, who's just, you know, in essence, explaining the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah in his conversation or the explanation of this Gemara and the Halacha, he quotes Rashi. But he doesn't note that there's anything of consequence difference between Rashi and the Rambam. And in fact, the Radvaz goes further here. The Radvaz in Hilchos Malachim is also on the page, on the side. There's no Magid Mishnah. And the Radvaz does try to harmonize the two. But it seems to be a little bit of a stretch. The Pashtus seems to be like the Meiri and like the Yad Ramah, that really there is a very profound machlokas. Now, before we get to a number of nafkaminas, I think, from this machlokas, just to point out that there does seem to be at least a third approach to the mitzvah, to the halacha in the Gemara, that is the aforementioned Yad Ramah, who suggests, and again, you could easily imagine why one would say such a thing, that it really is also an issue of gezel. I stress the word also, because where does the Yad Ramah get this from? From the Gemara itself, which says that discusses this about Talmud Torah. In other words, the Yad Ramah sees these two working hand in hand. In both cases, this is something, and maybe you want to schlep in those midrashim, this is the private gift of Talmud Torah, this is the private time of the Jewish people. There's something specifically, uniquely parochial in particular about the Jewish people's relationship with Hashem, which is expressed in Talmud Torah and Shabbos. And says the Yad Ramah, there's something inappropriate about a guy mishing in on either of them, and in essence, he's taking what's not his. And ultimately, that's at the heart of the Isser Gezel, which is one of the Sheva Mitzvahs B'nai Noach.
It seems premature to learn this halacha at this point of history.
Because there's no one to contrast B'nai Noach with. Right. So that's Tosfos makes your point, but you're making it philosophically, and Tosfos is going to ask it in a very technical halachic way. You'll know what I'm referring to when I get to the Tosfos, but you're 100% right.
Can I ask you, according to the Rambam, this is one example?
I think so. That's why the Rambam says klolo shel dovar. I believe that's correct. Now, I don't remember offhand who says what. I should. I don't. I'm sorry. But there is a parallel discussion in Rishonim, of which the Rambam is right in the center of, about Baal Tosef. Rambam, Ramban, Ravid. Rav Rosenzweig spoke about that standing, well, not right here, actually, I guess. in front of this bima, and then behind that, and exactly, in front of that aron, behind this bima, a little over three years ago, I guess, when he came for a Shabbos, Rav Rosenzweig spoke about Baal Tosef, and he actually spoke about that machlokas. Forgive me, I can't remember if it's Rambam, Ravid, or Ramban, but one of them, I forget, the whole machlokas is extra bottom of tefillin in a problem, or I can't remember. I'm sorry. But some of the Rishonim, they have a machlokas about, Lamarshal, if you decide you're going to take roses and you're going to wave roses around your head like that, and you think that that's a mitzvah, is that Baal Tosef? That's a machlokas Rishonim. Again, some see it as only, ironically enough, only corrupting an existing mitzvah. It has to be a legitimate mitzvah that's corrupted. An extra bais in the tefillin, an extra min in the lulav, or something like that. But just to make up your own thing, so what, that's, you're just a fool. Whereas others say, no, the idea of baltosav, this is so to speak, to machadish your religion. So, if your chiddush of the religion is five batim of tefillin, maybe. But if your chiddush of religion is five roses, that's also a chiddush of religion. So the parallel discussion. And I think, again, I don't remember, it would be fascinating, if Rambam's l'shitaso, well, Chaval al Davdin, I don't remember, which I guess in a sense that makes me Chayv Misa, right? According to Chaval, forgetting Torah. Okay, what can I say? Just also a final thing to point out, which is that the Torah Tzimima and that Divrei Shol work better with Rashi. In other words, their idea that it has to do with, you know, that you're going to hang around with too much free time and you're going to get in trouble. So that seems to be, in the sense of the Rashi's driving it, don't take a long weekend, you know, go back to work. You know, don't, whereas Rambam is speaking of something more philosophical and Mechadish religions, that doesn't work as well with them. Okay, now it is worth noting, I wasn't sure if this is what someone was going to ask, but let's think about for a moment, I take it back. Well, I'll just ask you the question and then we'll get back to it. Is Rashi or the Rambam, does either one of them work better with the halacha that this idea applies even to Tuesday, or are they both equally good? Right. So the machlokes here, I was having with myself. And it's good to know that I wasn't just talking to myself, that you were involved in the conversation as well. I had this machlokes with myself this afternoon. So my first instinct was like Barry. But now I'm not so sure, because not only is my second instinct, but I saw some svarim who speak more like Shabsi. So we'll have to get to it. But it is worth noting that, again, frankly, Shabsi articulated it better than I was able to myself, which is, there is an argument to be made, let's just spell it out, that the Rambam, really, again, it's a halacha in the Gemara, and the Rambam himself quotes it. So we have to figure out a way, and ultimately we're going to have to come on to Barry, in some level. But it does seem, one can make an argument, that it's a little bit more natural, instinctive, and maybe there'll be an Akamini even, that the Rambam's idea of being Mechadesh Das, so again, to take them completely out of thin air, that's not a Das, that's a Narishkeit. But if you take something that is legitimate, but manipulate it in such a way, or superimpose yourself into it, so then it's real enough that it can be manipulated. But maybe you would have thought, at least to have me, and maybe that's limited to Shabbos itself. What does that got to do with what I do on Tuesday? As opposed to the Rashi, where it's just a question of not wasting your time, of course, that doesn't make a difference. So Rashi certainly makes easy sense. In fact, it's on Amar Avina that Rashi makes his point explicitly. So that's a given. The Rambams will keep it as an open question. Now, I alluded to before, let's just mention it now, the tshuva of the Binyan Sion. Binyan Sion has two tshuvas about this topic. We will mention them both. The first one to mention, which is the second one that was at least in the Seder of the Sefer, is in Siman Kuf Chavav. The Binyan Sion, of course, is Rav Yaakov Ettlinger, the great German Gadol from Altoona, the Rav of all of the more recent Gadoli Germany, including Rav Hirsch and others, and really one of the great Gadoli Hador. So he says, he's the one who asks this question about what type of malacha are we talking about? Which again, ironically enough, that's the good thing for the non-Jew. Do the malacha so you're not in violation of Shabbos. So does that mean that if he just is kosev shtei osios, that counts as if he didn't keep Shabbos? Or the alternative would be, to take examples from other areas of halacha, you know, he does work that's exerted. But again, it's a kula nechumra, because as we know, you can do very exertive work which is not technically a violation of Shabbos. So he assumes that it is the latter, that it's not in Indian in lan mitzvah malachos. The guy's not allowed to learn Masechta Shabbos, but he can't learn Baruch Klal Gadol. But it's not, he says it's not that. He says it's an issue in Tircha. And we'll have to see, we'll see how he uses that. He uses that to answer up certain shilas. But that's just something to keep in mind, because otherwise you can't kind of go through the sugya, you have to know what we're talking about. We're going to assume, at least for now, that he's assuming that it works, that it's just any type of Tircha. Now, I would add that who does that work better according to? Rashi. Right? If Rashi's whole idea is do work so that you occupy yourself. So you know, just certain technicalities in Hilchos Shabbos don't take certainly any time. You know, they're not going to preoccupy you necessarily. Suppose that the idea is you should be involved in Malachas, he says, Yigiyah v'tircha. So then that, again, I'm not saying it fits like a glove, but at least it's, so to speak.
So what does that mean? He has to do a physical Malachas?
According to him, yes, that's right. Schlep a couch. Paint my basement.
Let's say, normally an accountant, for example, that does numbers that you have to do.
Well, for me, that would be, that's Malachas tircha.
Right, but. I mean, you have to do something physically?
I don't know. Yeah, it's a good question. It's a good question. Huh? Well, again, I don't know if you want to take the Rashi or even those other Midrashim too literally in terms of, you know, work, you know, don't waste it. But, again, I would say if he raked the leaves, you know, and spent the whole day cutting the grass, that would also be okay. Now, again, if you ask me if he's doing spending a whole day in the office, I don't know. You know, is this a blue collar versus a white collar thing? I don't know. I'm not sure. Right, something that itself is not so hard, but if you do enough of it, obviously the quantity can create a burden too. Say again? Right, exactly, right, good. Now here's another question, which again is very basic and elementary, which is what is the definition of the Shabbos from a time chronological perspective? Let's assume we're talking about what we call Shabbos Saturday, the seventh day, but Lamashal, any other day of the week. How do you define the day? Laila Leom or Yom Laila? So before we even ask the question, if I just had to, what's our first assumption? Laila Leom. Why should it be any different than anything else? Right? However, very good, Alan. The Pasuk that is our mocker speaks about Yom first. So sure enough, the Hafla wrote the Sefer Hamakni on Shas. So he has a Sefer Chumash called the Panim Yafos. Now, I don't know how many Panim Yafos vorts are so well known, but this one is quoted by, among others, Rabbi Kiv Eger. So this, now everyone can quote it. This got, yeah. Yes, on Parsha. It's on Parsha's Noach. Panim Yafos on Noach. Oh, it's in the Chuvas in Simon Kuf Chav. I wrote it down. Kuf Chav or Kuf Chav Beis. Kuf Chav Aleph. 121. The Shmatos of Kuf Chav Aleph. So the Panim Yafos here in our Pasuk Chav Beis, he says that the mocker of the pasuk is Yom Laila, and therefore it's defined the way every other person in the world but us defines days. It's a 24-hour period, from so to speak, from sunrise to sunset. It goes from the morning until the night. The Tzlach quotes this idea, the Chasam Sofer, and the Tshuva has this. The Malbim talks about it in Shmos Perkid Beis, and Rambam Malbim is talking about Shabbos. And as I mentioned, Rabbi Kiv Eger not only quotes it, Rabbi Kiv Eger accepts it as correct, and we'll see how they use it halacha in a few minutes. Are you saying like what happens late at night? I don't know. So the stomach includes Laila also. Yeah, I think it's, I'm assuming it's a 24-hour period, right? I'm assuming it's a 24-hour period. That's correct. Thank you. So the Binyan Sion, though, with the aforementioned Binyan Sion, he is one of the stark people who disagrees with this. And he asks, I don't understand, it makes no sense. How do we know? We didn't just randomly pick night going into day. We got it from Vayera Vayivoker, from the creation of the world. So why should we assume that something gets definitional to the creation of the world would distinguish between, you know, populations who inhabit the world? And that's, again, at least Misvara, a very strong question. So I saw, at least, but Lamaisa, you do have these two dais. And I saw, even though I'm not 100% persuaded of this being Mukhrach, but in two of the popular svarim that I like to use to prepare this year. One is Rav Asher Weiss ben Chas Asher. Another one is a sefer called the Chavatzel Sasharon, Rav Karlbach, whose father was not long ago visiting the Kowalskis in Shomrei. I can't remember the son's name, the one who's written two svarim so far, Chavatzel Sasharon. So both he and Rav Asher Weiss want to suggest that this machlokas of whether you go night to day or day to night may be dependent on Rashi and the Rambam. Why? According to Rashi, it makes sense, like the Panim Yafos, that you go day to night. Why? Because the focus is on normal rest, as opposed to, according to the Rambam, where the focus is on Chiddush Das, then presumably, they say, it would be patterned, and this is Allah Shabsi, it would be patterned after our definition, not only of day and night, but of Shabbos itself. And therefore, they suggest that if you'll hold, like the Rambam, that it's about Chadesh Das, so then, Mustama, you're going to be more inclined to hold like Binyan Sion, who limits it, who assumes, excuse me, that it's exact same night day as we have. However, if you want to say like Rashi that it's going from day to night, so then Mustama, that works more according to how do people work. What's the work schedule? The work schedule, of course, you wake up in the morning and you do work. Now I would say, and again, this is where I started having the battle in my own head. You could be docha this according to Barry, that if your kavana, again, I could see such an argument to be made. I can see there's an argument to be made that if your kavana is from day to night, but as a mechadish das, you just think you're, so to speak, improving on our das. I could see such a svar, but again, it's certainly to be worth noting that at least, that was my first instinct, frankly. But it does seem that both of these svarim do seem to hold more like Shapsi, that it is, you could perhaps say these are, that is already a nafkamina between Rashi and the Rambam. Another issue. But our moed also goes by night and day.
It doesn't matter, but it could be if the creation of something.
Oh, I know something. I really was struggling. I didn't look around too much, but when you read that Rambam, what does he gain by that even moed? I'm not sure.
Well, it means.
Couldn't he have just said Shabbos and then Kol Shal Davar and he Mechadish Das? Why does he say, you know, what's the exact lashon, just to be precise? Meaning, I guess that refers to more to the other days?
Yeah.
Or it makes an meaning, or is it commemoration of something? Is that referring to Memorial Day?
Yes, could be.
If you think of Memorial Day as a religious holiday. So you don't just have Chukas Akum, you have other problems. I guess if we do it, it's Chukas Akum. And if they do it.
The source of this whole idea is a pasuk that really defines time.
Right. Right. Yeah, I'm not sure. But you think that what this would be, again, this is what you want to take Barry's side on this.
I don't think the Rambam would be concerned. I think the Rambam would have the same problem if they took a lulav on any Wednesday.
And you think that it wouldn't matter if it's night or day or night?
Well, which is, well, they took a lulav,
or whatever they hold as the kiyum of the new holiday.
Right.
It could be to eat pizza too, but that's my kind of holiday. Okay. So you're agreeing with Barry, which is that if it really has to do with... Yeah, so again, that's what I mean, you have to, again, the only reason I disagree with you is not from the Lashon HaRambam. I agree. To agree with you, it's a svara, again, and it's not a bad svara. Maybe it's even better than just not bad, and that's what these achronim were saying, as the Shapsi was saying, which is that in order for it to be a problem, it has to first be significant. And it's only significant if it's tapping into something that's real. Now, that's a svara. That's not in the Lashon HaRambam. I think that's where I started off, where you are. I just want to acknowledge that there is this other mahalach out there. Now, getting back to another point that Shapsi made, which was Shapsi asked the philosophical question about Matan Torah and what's relevant for there was no Jews now. So what do you mean for non-Jews? So first of all, two points. One is that this is one of the many sources, which I'm not going to get into tonight because I knew we wouldn't have time to. Maybe this will be next year's Noach topic, but it could also be almost anything in Sefer Bereishis, which is the whole status of Avos Koda Matan Torah. This is one of the places, because one of the biggest discussions they have is how could the Avos have kept Shabbos? If you assume that the Avos were not Jewish, and so Mela, they did keep Erev Tavshilin, they didn't keep Erev Tavshilin, they weren't Erevin, that's neither here nor there. But if you assume that Mamar Chazal, that they kept everything, presumably includes Shabbos, how could they keep Shabbos unless you assume that they're Jewish, but they weren't Jewish? Parshas Drach and the Mishnah Omelech and Rav Yosef Engel and the Beis Otzer, there's a lot of famous Torah, and some of it is contained in relevance to our Parsha. We're not discussing it, but it's worth noting that that is relevant to this question that Shapsi is alluding to. However, what I do want to discuss is the Tosus in Sanhedrin here on Daf Nuntes, in the next Amud, Ne'amar l'bnei Noach. So there, the Tosus asks the following question. We have an idea, strictly speaking in a halakhic sense, of certain mitzvahs which were told before Sinai. So what is that status vis-a-vis Jew versus non-Jew in the new reality? So the halachic rule of thumb is, if it's nishnis to Sinai, if it's repeated at Sinai, so then the repetition, the second one, is for us, and the fact that it was written first applies to non-Jews. But if it's lo nishnis to Sinai, if it's never repeated, so mastama, it was always meant specifically for us. So Frektakasha says, Tosfos, so this isser of working, the isser did not work on Shabbos, was never repeated, maybe it applies to us. It's davar shelo nishnas b'sinai. So this pasuk, by hook crook, so to speak, which however you read it, is the source of an isser to work, to not work on Shabbos. Maybe the isser applies to the Jewish people. Who would have thunk? I have a whole generation of Jews who kim lekehavim mina
posvus. It's part of one of the other shevah mitzvahs.
No, not shevah mitzvahs. It's why is it part of the one of the shevah mitzvahs? I mean, if you assume it's like zeilat the adramah.
Right.
Okay, so maybe that's a rye that Tosfos doesn't hold like that. And the Gemara numbers calls it zeila. So how does he answer? He answers, well, listen.
It's so certain of halacha is given.
So that, right, so that's the answer. Again, it's almost, it's telling that he needs two steps to get there, and maybe it'll be, we'll see what it may be telling us in a second. But the bottom line is, all of your instinctive and visceral reaction is exactly what Tosfos says, which is, listen, there's a pasuk that says there's an isur malacha on Shabbos. So Memeil, obviously, it can't be talking to us. Or else they'd be forced into assuming the two Pesukim are contradictory. We don't like assuming that Mishnayos or Gemaras are contradictory, or even Rambams. So we certainly don't want to assume that Pesukim are contradictory. So given that fact, says Tosfos, therefore we must assume that it's talking about non-Jews. Comes along Rabbi Akiva Eiger in the Tshuva, Kochav Aleph, and he's assuming like the Panim Yafos, but you're thinking cap on the Cheshvan this. He's assuming like the Panim Yafos, that the Shabbos, as it refers to non-Jews, is from day to night. So he asks the Kasha on Tosfos, why do you have to assume that the existence of Shabbos the way we know it is mutually exclusive with the, quote, Isser, to keep Shabbos? Because after all, when could you do work? Masi Shabbos! Look at that! Says Rabbi Akiva Eiger, I don't understand! It could refer to Jews because they could be keeping Shabbos and doing Malach on Saturday night. According to the definition of Shabbos for Goyim, it's still Shabbos. So they did Malach, they weren't Shabbos. But according to us, they made Havdalah, we're okay. I didn't like that, Cheshbon. That's Rabbi Akiva Eiger's question. So he answers it by quoting the Gemara Masechta Shabbos Nafkuf Yadalid, that discusses the fact that Yom Kippur could fall out on a Sunday. A very technical answer. Yom Kippur could fall out on a Sunday. So if Yom Kippur would fall out on a Sunday, so you'd have a 48-hour period. 2 days, you know, you'd have a 2-day yontif. You'd have a 48-hour period. So if Yom Kippur is Masa Shabbos, then you obviously can't do Malacha then. So because of that one Heichat Timsa, Sister Rabbi Akiva Eiger, so the Gemara discusses that as a possibility. The Gemara discusses that as a possibility. That's because of what? The right, the calendar and things like that. Right, but in theory, the Gemara says it could. It should have been able to, let's put it that way. So the Rakhivay says, because of that Hechatimsa, therefore, it could, again, because of that one case, therefore it couldn't have been applying to Jews. Mela, we know that the Pasuk is referring to non-Jews. So I saw that in the Sefer Chabad Salsa Sharon, he just made a little ha'arala, which is that the whole discussion is almost non, you know, it's kind of a Twilight Zone type of a discussion. The whole thing's a little bit weird. Could there be an Isser for us to keep Shabbos? But be that as it may, he has his little ha'arala is that perhaps this whole discussion makes sense in a certain sense only according to Rashi. Because according to the Rambam, it doesn't make any sense to imagine that the Jews, by keeping Shabbos, would have been Mechadish Dos. That is the das. That we're not being mechadish das. That is the das. It only makes if you see that as the nature of the isser that we're taking us and making a new religion to keep Shabbos. That's not a new religion. That is the religion, as opposed to Rashi, who just sees it more. If you will forgive me, malamadishly, I ask Rashi and you to forgive me. It's not an insult that you should forgive me, and if it is an insult, he should forgive me. That therefore he says it only makes sense according to Rashi to even entertain this almost wacky discussion, but it only even makes sense to entertain it according to Rashi. There's also a Gemara in Beitza, just to mention that it's a weird Gemara. The Goyim are punished because they weren't Mekabel Shabbos. The Goyim are punished because they weren't Mekabel Shabbos. So the Marsha asks the obvious question, what do you mean? They're not allowed to keep Shabbos. So then, the Marsha seems to say, like the Rambam, it's only usher for them if they have a Kavanas Shvisa. What do you say according to Rashi? What do you say according to Rashi? I'm not sure. I'm not sure how Rashi would read that Gemara. I'm not sure how Rashi would read that Gemara. But at least according to the Rambam, we have an easy way out of that Gemara. Just to mention two more things. Number one is that there's a Mishnah in Machshirin, which is discussed in the Masechta Ksubas and Daf Tezvav. When you have a child in a Sufi, you don't know who the parents are, and it's found in a town. So if a majority of Jews, we assume the baby is Jewish, majority of non-Jews, we assume the baby is not Jewish. What if it's 50-50? So the Gemara says you're machmir and you give him the chumras of everything. So just like the avos kara matan Torah, you run into a problem with this. You can't be machmir to keep Shabbos if it's also usher to keep Shabbos. The chumras of both would preclude each other. What does this child do on Shabbos? There's a huge discussion in the postgame about this. And in fact, if you look in some of the tshuvas, they even discuss the other two cases, even if it's rove Jews, because there is a discussion that some of the achronim have, including Rav Yehuda and the Prima Gadim in Yeridea and the Klalei Tarubis, that rove is only halacha for Jews, not el halacha for non-Jews. It's a chiddush haTorah rove. So Maman of Shach, if he's using the rove, he must imply he's Jewish. But if he might not be Jewish, he can't use the rove. It's like a serious mental gymnastics. I'm just making you aware of the discussion. And finally, that's just to mention, to conclude, is the following question. An example, there's more to say about Rashi Rambam, but Yehei Mashi Yehei, so to speak, there is this Isser. You should just know one of the following theoretical, but not just theoretical, there was a time in history where this was the issue of the day. Where did this come up, perhaps? It may relate to the question of what do you do with a prospective convert? So there's two issues. One is, what does a person do who's 3 months into what will be a year study course at Geirim 101? So do they keep any type of Shabbos? Do they not? So there's a Tosfos Yeshanim in Masechta Yevamos. It says they're only doing it because they want to prepare to be a Jew. They can keep Shabbos, which is parallel to a Marsha in Sanhedrin who says, when the person's preparing for Geirus, there's no hold bars on Talmud Torah either. That Marsha and the Tosfos Yeshanim go together. And I'm not sure what the Minhag Olam, because I'm not one of those Rabbanim who is involved in Geirus, I'm not sure what the Minhag Olam is. I think it's to rely on that Marsha when it comes to teaching them, to learning with them. But I think, the little bit that I'm familiar with, I think when it comes to Geirim, usually we're not so reliant on that Tosfos Yeshanim. And sometimes what we do is we have them do a small little malacha. Like they say, if you're in an area that's not an Eruv, to carry something, or to be Kosev Shtei Osios, just to write something in order to be over. So where did this come up in a more subtle, it turned out it was the halachic issue of the year, literally, was none other than in 1827 in Yerushalayim. Rav Rashi of Yerushalayim in 1827 was? If you're in halachic jeopardy, it was Rav Shmuel Salant. He was in Europe fundraising. And as the story goes, he was with my elder Zayda, the Chedush HaRim. What happened? There was a prospective Ger Tzedek, Mamash HaHelig HaTzedek. He had his Mila. They did it earlier in the week, which is what you're supposed to do, so that by the time Shabbos comes, he's recovered enough that he could have gone to the mikvah and then could keep us for Shabbos. But he wasn't healing well. And he wasn't healing, they didn't want to take him to the mikvah. So comes the Shabbos, and he's still a guy with, he's still mal v'lo taval. Gemara says, mal v'lo taval, ki ilu lo mal. But no one thought about it. He's this holy tzaddik. He's already, he's been in the community, the Halev Yerushalayim community, and he even had the mila. Everyone knew about it. It's Shalashuddha's time. And it dawns on someone. Oh my gosh, the sun is about to set, and he's been keeping Shabbos. So they ran to the stand-in Rav, Rav Asher Lemuel. So what do we do? And he said, quick, have him kosev shtei osios. And as the story goes, with dima'os coming down his cheek, he wrote the two osios. And then Monday, Tuesday, went to the mikvah, and Shalom al Yisrael, he became a Ger Tzedek. Not so Shalom al Yisrael. There was, maybe you've heard of this, a halakha controversy in Yerushalayim. There was a Taram, woo, people went wild. What's the best way to get the standing rabbi in trouble? Get the permanent rabbi to disagree with him. So they communicated with Shmuel Salant. Shmuel Salant said he should have kept Shabbos. Well, now they're really after him. So they decided, they sent to none other than Rav Yaakov Etlinger, the Gadol Hador from Ashkenaz, who at the time was also editor of a journal called Hashomer Atzion HaNemon. And Binyan Tzion wrote a piece in his journal, which is subsequently republished. It's republished in the Binyan Tzion. It was originally written for this journal, Simon Tzadi Aleph in the Binyan Tzion, which is how it's easily accessible, where he also disagrees with Rav Asher Lemuel, and he holds that he should have kept Shabbos. So there's a huge discussion why, various reasons. So some hold, based on the Marsha and the Tosfos Yeshanim, he's Mamash Kimat. We know what he wants to do. He's not being Mechadish Das, anything like that. He's just keeping Shabbos. And he wants to, he's about to become a Jew. That's an easy one. Just to let you know the two chidushim in the sugya. Again, as heartbreaking as it was, we could understand Rav Asher Lemuel's psak. So why do all these achronim disagree? So there's two fascinating shitas here, and they're the two rabbanim whose names I mentioned. I don't have time to develop it now, but just so you should know, this is about as fascinating as it gets. The binyan sinai is Mechadish, the following yisod, that somebody who's in the prospect of converting and has his mila, but hasn't had his tila, he's yotza mechlal akum. He's not a guy, but he's not yet a Jew. He's in halachic twilight zone. So he doesn't have an Isra of Kodesh Shabbos because he's not a Goy anymore. Ah, he's not a Jew, he's not Chayav in Shabbos. He's halachic twilight zone. As big a chiddush as that is, Shmuel Salant heard, I hear you, and I'll raise you. Shmuel Salant says, he's kvar nichnas bechlal yahadus leksas dinim. He's a partial Jew. I don't know if it's 20%, 60%, or 72%. I don't know. But he already has the chalos of a partial Jew. And not just that he's not a guy anymore. More than that. He's a partial Jew, a proto-Jew. I don't know what the word is. I don't think they made up a word for this. But he invented it. Where did he get it from? We'll have to have another shiur about that. He should not have, according to this. Yeah, he should not have.